This is NY Bill.
And this is Windigo.
And I am having trouble with web pages, and I think you might be my go-to guy, so I'm going to ask you some
Which
questions.
Which means you are in trouble, sir.
Well, you got to know better. You've been running them longer than I have. How long have you been doing web pages?
There's lots of different parts of that. I've been hosting my own servers for the past couple years, maybe, since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never been really professional grade. But I've been coding HTML and even PHP now for quite a while.
Yeah, and you do this for your job too as well, right?
Yeah, although, you know, full disclosure, we're stuck on IIS at our place of employment.
Okay. Well, I'm just this part is just hobby for me, but like last year, well, it's over a year now. I never really had I just consumed the web the whole time, just bringing stuff in or maybe using a forum or email or stuff. I never really wanted to have a blog or a web page or anything. But back when we started doing the StatusNet stuff, it seemed like fun. So that was my first outward-facing presence on the web, I guess you can say.
Yeah, once you find out that with a pretty minimal machine and an internet connection, you can host all your own applications and your own communication tools, it gets kind of addictive.
Yeah, that's we're going to go into that in a minute, but yes. back then it was just it was an old Pentium M 12-inch Dell laptop behind my router, and it was just a server, and I got to set up StatusNet, I got a domain, point the domain to my outward facing IP from my ISP. They say they have dynamic IPs here, but I get the same IP unless I change routers and the MAC address changes, so this might go into some of that they're watching what you're doing and the six strikes stuff. But
yeah, I have the same situation. I have a static DNS entry just pointing at my house for when I need to VPN, or not VPN, SSH in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it would do.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried at first that I need to update it all the time, but nope, not so much.
Oh yeah, so back then it got me learning about domains and, you know, pointing them to your IP, and got me learning about, you know, putting in the LAMP stack, and I had my own status now. I had a web page. And then I kept saying to you guys, like, it's slow, I'm going to get a VPS, and how long did that take me? over a year, maybe?
Yeah, it's been a while, but it's understandable. VPSs, they're incredibly nice in certain aspects. You get especially with Linode, you get a complete machine in the cloud that you can do whatever you want on.
Yeah, that is fun.
Yeah, it's handy. They use their bandwidth, their hardware. You don't have to worry about anything except the monthly recurring cost and mm-hmm. what if the company goes under.
But you and Asphere have been using them forever, and you said it was like minimal downtime, and
It
was worth the money for me. However, the strangest thing is that what drove me to get it was Tmux and Arisi, those simple little IRC things. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, I've always hopped into IRC, but I used to just start up XChat, and then you can't really, you're at the beginning of whatever conversation's going on, and it takes a while for the conversation to go by till you can figure out if you can, you know, if you want to say something. It was hard to get into IRC in that way. But then on my desktop 4 would always be 4 XChat windows, and they'd be going 24/7, and I could click over and look at them. But I could only be in IRC if I was sitting in front of my desk.
Yeah. So there's something to be said for chat omnipotence.
Right. So when I started messing around with Screen and Tmux and Arisi and WeChat, figuring out how I was going to do it. And then once I figured out you can just reattach to your screen or TMUX session from it, whatever computer you're on, and see the backlog of IRC going by, I was like, yep, this is exactly what I wanted. And
yeah, it's wonderful.
Then I was like, okay, $20 a month for, I guess I'm doing IRC basically for $20 a month on a Linode. But so I got that all set up, and then I moved my StatusNet instance up. So I basically replaced everything the server laptop was doing in my house and put it up in the crazy clouds there.
Yeah. And let's back up for a little bit because you didn't just jump from a machine in your house to a machine in the cloud. You jumped from a Debian machine in your house to an Arch server in the cloud, which is crazy.
No, I'm just getting,
in my opinion.
I'm getting more used to Arch these days. So yeah, it wasn't that step wasn't as big, but yeah, for the last year or year and a half, I've been a mix of Debian and Arch stuff. So, and then just every once in a while, I'll get on my Debian machines and I'm typing Pac-Man. So, like, why am I fighting this? So, but anyways, I lost my train of thought. Oh, I got my StatusNet up there and everything's working. You guys started to resub me. And then some people were complaining, like on Friendica, Navigium was saying that Webfinger will not go into subfolders. Does this make...
Yeah, there's a lot of different protocols at work. I don't know how any of those other applications work. I know StatusNet works on something called OStatus, but it has all sorts of other supported protocols, like something called Friend of a Friend, FOAF, and there's probably some more stuff in there, but I think they work a little bit differently on the Friendica side of things, and there's always... Diaspora, I think. I'm not sure if they can subscribe to StatusNet instances or not. But there's a lot of different things going on. So it's understandable that things like this, like different tiny compatibility issues will come up.
Hmm. That was the first, being fairly new to putting up any type of web page at all, that was the first time someone said subfolder, and then someone said subdomain. So that got me looking into subdomains. That's where I'm stuck right now.
Oh, maybe you should explain to everyone what a subdomain is.
I don't know yet. I don't have my head around this crap.
Okay, so the difference between a subfolder and a subdomain is subfolders are file system based. So if you have, for instance, gunmonkeynet.net, you can add a folder underneath the web root, which is usually /var/www, and that'll make a subfolder on your website. So you'll have gunmonkeynet.net/statusnet.
Yes, that's
and
the way I'm set.
Subdomains, yeah, and that's fine, honestly. I didn't realize there were problems with Friendica, but apparently Friendica requires a subdomain, which is a DNS entry. And while it will still be like status.gunmonkeynet.net, it will be its own separate web server or website as far as Apache is concerned, and that often the way you do that is through this virtual host directive, and it lets you make your own virtual websites based on what domains are getting sent to your server.
That's right where I'm stuck at. So this, what we're recording here right now came about because I'm stuck with the, some of this might be old hat to some of the people listening, so if you want to just click ahead, that's fine, but I figured if there's... I'm no newcomer to computers, but there's a lot of stuff here that I don't know about, so I figured maybe if I could just bounce some questions off you, it might help some other people that are thinking about getting into some web pages and stuff. So,
sure, if, like, or it's just going to hopelessly confuse everyone.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Well, we're good at that.
You've been warned.
If A records and C names and virtual hosts and stuff sound as strange to you as they do me, I suppose you might get something out of this.
I feel like we should put an aha note in the show notes when we figure everything out, and then say, if you just want the solution, skip to
too long, didn't
this
read.
Many. Exactly, yeah.
Okay, we'll do that then. Oh, and then the other thing I should mention is the trouble that I'm getting into. I was fine up until I wanted to do multiple things with my server. So I'm starting to think about doing, besides the StatusNet, doing a Media Goblin instance, possibly an own cloud. My wife wants me to look into WordPress. And then...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then... this is a lot on my plate, huh? And then the StatusNet guys seem to be working towards this Pump.io thing, so we might all start fooling around with that. So I have to figure out how to do multiple things with my server. So.
Yeah, and that's it's got benefits and drawbacks to using subdomains over subfolders. So, for instance, I do not have any room on my VPS right now for Node.js or MongoDB because it would crush the thing. It's only got 512 or 640 megs of RAM in it, and Apache and MySQL eats that pretty regularly. So if I loaded another server software on there, there's a pretty good chance that everything would just fall over. I think you should be better on Arch because you can fine tune stuff a lot. And I just recently tweaked Apache and MySQL so that they'll use less memory. Mm-hmm. But you have to be really careful about overloading your system with things. And that's usually adding virtual host doesn't cause any problems because it's just using the same MySQL or Apache service. But loading up extra server software could get me in trouble. But since I use subdomains for everything, I don't necessarily have to keep them on the same server. You could point pump.fragdev.com at my computer at home, and I can point micro.fragdev.com at the VPS. Mm-hmm. And since that's all handled in DNS, I don't have to worry about where things are, whereas if they were subfolders, they would all have to be on the same server.
On the same machine, I see.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
What was I going to get at? The
something important.
Something to do with subdomains. Oh, yeah, I bet it was insightful, too. What the hell was I going to say?
Subdomains, subfolders we were up to, and different machines.
Yeah. Overloaded VPS. It was the multiple sites. So it seems like when you're hosting yourself, or doing any kind of hosting, really, or programming or developing, whatever, the trick is going from 1 to 2. Like, 2 to 3 and 3 to 4 is always easy. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to have, like, move from using one SQL server to shared SQL servers, if you had, like, an extreme load or something, like a very high-traffic website, that jump to two servers is always difficult. And I think it's the same thing with this, with the virtual hosts. Because if you're just doing one website, you install Apache, drop everything in var www, and you're set. It's a website. It's 100% complete as soon as you install it. But once you get into this virtual host thing, just making that next step is so difficult because you need to configure it to use virtual hosts, and then you need to get the first one set up and listening. But once you have that second virtual host set up, creating the third, fourth, fifth, I think I actually have 15 going on my VPS.
Oh, boy.
And it's really just copy and paste from that. So once you get this up, adding additional applications is so much fun.
I am adding virtual hosts, and it just keeps failing harder and harder. So I think I want you to take me from step one to step two.
Well, this is only your first one, right? And
the first time I tried to do two things with a server, so.
Yeah, so.
I want two different addresses to come to the same IP address and then get sorted out, you know, through the file system, pointed in different directions, yeah.
So I looked, because I'm running on Debian, things are a little bit different. We use separate files for each virtual host, where it looks like Arch stores all of the virtual host directives in the same file. Is it httpd.conf, maybe? Let me look up the Arch wiki.
httpd.conf.
Okay, that's the standard Apache configuration file.
Yep, but then you can say include your virtual hosts.
Yeah.
And while it's running through that, it can go grab that. Yeah.
Okay, so they have a single virtual host file called httpd-vhost.conf.
Yeah, and that's in extras. So.
Yeah. Debian makes it so that you have one file per virtual host, and it just includes the entire directory.
Oh, I see.
And again, there's going to be drawbacks and benefits to doing it that way, but this way should work fine.
Yeah, I ran into some PHP differences, too, between Debian and Arch. That's when...
Very much so, I'd imagine.
John Culp couldn't sub me, and I figured out that PHP needed to look in a few more folders, and it wasn't set up to do that in Arch, so I just had to get into the config there. So yeah, there is subtle differences.
Yeah. Well, Arch, since Arch has bleeding edge everything, and Debian's, you know, they're still using whatever the latest. Exactly, yeah. You know, I've been using this version of PHP for years, and it hasn't given me any trouble.
You kids these days.
And, yeah. These distros with their bleeding edge software. It's, so, yeah, I think that might cause some differences, especially with some of the included extensions, but you have StatusNet up and running, so I don't think PHP is going to give you too much trouble. The virtual host is all at the Apache level.
Yes, the virtual host is where I'm stuck right now, so I don't know where the first place we should look is. Probably in the my registrar in the zone file. We should maybe talk about that, about
records
and C names. Okay, so I just pulled mine up.
Okay, so you've got your zone file in front of you?
Yes. I changed it in the morning, and I think I probably know what I did wrong, because everything is broken right now. So.
Okay. Well, what we should do is explain some of the stuff we just said.
Yes.
So first of all, a zone file is a list of all of the records you have in your DNS server for your domain. Mm-hmm. So any of your subdomains, any of that stuff will be stored in this zone file. And you mentioned A names or A records and C names.
Yes.
So an A record it's just a pointer basically that points to an IP address. So your main record will always be an A record, so that people know, you know, if someone sends a request for gunmonkeynet.net, they will be able to, your DNS host will be able to return your IP address and get them there. And a C name is just a pointer to another A record. So I have...
Okay, yeah.
It's like a symlink, really.
This is working, Jake, because as you're saying it, you're teaching me. Yeah, I was getting confused with C names, because I'm looking right now and, you know, it's saying like blog C name, and then the value is blog.vip. I use GandhiNet.
Yeah.
It seems like it points to another IP or address.
Yeah, and it's not a full address. It has to be another DNS record. So, for instance, it would be really nice if you could make a CNAME that pointed to gunmonkeynet.net/statusnet, but they don't work that way. They're strictly
But you can bet
layer
I tried.
Three.
I tried that a couple days ago.
It would be really nice.
You were joking on Identica earlier how on something you were working on, you would get in the config, you could change it, you would restart it. Does it work now? Does it work now? You know, just changing.
Absolutely.
That's what I've been doing these days. Just change it. Does it work now? And I was waiting for the huzzah moment, but it hasn't come yet.
Yeah. And the problem with these kind of situations is it's so hard to test because there's so many different pieces of software in play.
Exactly.
Yeah. You've got the DNS records that could be out of date. You've got the Apache, like, did it reload its config? Did it reload it and use its config?
Yep.
So
then I was wondering about permissions when I'm pointing things to different folders. Does someone from the web have permissions to look at what I have here? Yeah, there's a lot of different directions to look in.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're not doing a mail server, because that's 10 times worse.
Well, that's part two, I think, of this one.
Oh, God. Yeah. Jezra, I hope.
Oh, yeah, all right. Got that put in our laps.
So, so anyways, what I'll probably do is I will set up an entry in my /etc/hosts file, so that I'll just bypass the whole DNS problem. And if I can verify that your virtual host is working that way, then we can remove that and start testing the DNS end of things.
Okay.
Could you...
Oh, all right. I wanted to ask you a question about the zone file here, if I've messed it up.
Yeah,
So my A record, it asks for a name. And the ones that Gandhi put in there are like blog, IMAP, POP, SMTP.
Mm-hmm.
So then I made an A record because I want micro for my status net. So I made an A record name micro.gunmonkey.net or net.net and then put the value of my IP. Did I just need to put micro there?
Usually, yes.
Okay, that's why things broke today.
Yeah, and there's some tricks. Since you're using a registrar to edit your zone file, their interface might have some differences because, like, I've been able to do things on GoDaddy that I haven't on Gandhi, and I've been able to do things on Gandhi that I haven't on Hover.
I'm just wondering if now that I put the GunMonkey on the end of Micro, if it's redundant here in the zone file. And I have Media Goblin above it with GunMonkey also, so I might need to change this to just...
So you may have made a subdomain that was micro.gunmonkey.
Yeah.
So it just
resolve.
Changed it all together.
I'm going to try that right now. I'm going to try it. It might resolve. That would be stupid. All right. We can cut this out because I'm typing.
I'm trying it too. I'm interested. You've got my attention.
But it's way too many dots.
It works.
Does it? Just keep putting dots
in? That's exactly
in?
What you do. Go yeah.
Monkey.
So you...
/status. Well, maybe we can leave this in it and let, you know, people can hear how I did things wrong, too.
So, no, I like this, because I didn't know that was possible. So I am totally making a buffalo domain.
Yeah, right? When somebody's squatting on something that you want, you can just make it as long as you want. Mm-hmm. Somebody's squatting on Ford cars. I'll just make Ford.cars.Ford.cars.
Well, the problem is you have to have control of the original domain. So
That
you could
be done. That was a joke, everyone.
Fire up, what is it, Backtrack that you've got?
Jake, we might be able to make this like a 2 or 3-parter. We're getting up to 22 minutes and we haven't even gotten into my problem yet.
Oh, Ken Fallon will be pleased.
Here's our 4-parter to go with 150 and a hookah.
We're set till 2017, thank you very much.
Oh, can we stack them up? I think he washes them all away at the beginning of the year. Gets rid of all your credit.
We can hold back.
Okay. We'll get a lawyer and we'll have these in a safe deposit box somewhere.
There you go.
Okay, where were we? All right, I got this really wacky zone file, so I need to change this.
Mm-hmm. So, I just visited micro.gunmonkeynet.net.gunmonkeynet.net, and
this is how the net works.
Perfectly.
Isn't it? Yeah, this is how it works in my head. I don't know what you guys are using. All right. So, and then another thing you can explain while I'm doing this is the TTL, time to live.
So, DNS is a very hierarchical system where when you make a DNS request, it goes to your server. And if they don't have a copy of that record, it goes to the next server up. And if they don't have a copy of that record, it goes to the root servers. And if everybody did that every time, the internet would just explode. So DNS has the crap cached out of it, where if one server does a DNS lookup for google.com or gunmonkeynet.net, it saves that for as long as it can. And that TTL value, that time to live, says how long it should be valid. So if your Google and your IP address isn't going to change all that often, you can set it to a couple hours. You can set it to a day. You can have it cached quite a bit. And that's not a bad idea because that helps improve the performance of your site. And that happens on your computer as well. So if you've looked up a record that has a time to live of 10 hours... and you visit that site all day, you'll only do that lookup once.
Hmm. So I'm messing with my TTL right now, trying to get it to go faster while we're recording, but it won't let me do 1 minute. I tried.
Yeah.
So it was three hours default.
So yeah, you can knock that down to the lowest value you can, just in case you need to troubleshoot things like that.
Yeah, that's... I'll set it back up to 3 hours after. Yeah, it won't let me even set 3 minutes.
Try 5 minutes. That's usually a pretty low default.
Windigo says 5 minutes, Gandhi. Submit. Oh,
don't make me come to France.
Wow, you are the go-to. You know all about this stuff. 5 minutes. Let me change micro to 5 minutes. I suppose while we're waiting for that to change, we can go into the other problems I had with the virtual hosts.
Okie dokie.
All right, I gotta switch to it.
So I'm looking at your virtual host file, and
we took a pause there, and I had to send him my virtual host file. So
yeah, plus you know root access, whatever. Anyways, quit.
So what I did with the virtual host, there's a generic virtual host file that you can copy in here.
Yeah.
So in in Arch, it's etsy /conf/extra. HTTPD. This is one of those things. It'll be better in the show notes.
It will be written out /vhost.conf.
So that's where I am right now. And this is for the last 2 days. I've been changing things in here and restarting Apache and crossing my fingers and failing.
Yeah. And each one of these virtual hosts is in its own configuration block kind of thing, made out of virtual host tags. So I'm comparing the two. You've got the document root. There's a lot of stuff in here, most of which can be ignored. It's just like preferences as to how your site will react when it hits a symlink or something like that. But the most important thing is the server name. That tells Apache which subdomain this will respond to. So when you request a web page at micro.gunmonkeynet.net, if it's got a bunch of virtual hosts, it needs a way to sort out which one you're trying to get at. So it takes that request header and then matches it against the server name directive of each of these virtual hosts. And
So that was a question I had yesterday when I was fooling around with this. If you can see from what you're reading there, there is server name and there is server alias. And yesterday, I was doing server name www.gunmonkeynet.net, which is my VPS, and then I was doing alias as micro.such-and-such.
That's not necessarily
right. I thought
it
was looking for like localhost, basically, on server name, and then that alias. So that's where I got wrong there.
Yeah, what it's looking for there. The server name is the primary address of the website, so server name should be micro.gunmonkeynet.net.
Which alias, we should say is a subdomain of... This is going to get confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, but the thing is, it doesn't have to be a subdomain. Most of the sites I have on my VPS are for different people and different customers. So server name could be, if I wanted you to host my pump.io instance, you could have pump.fragdev.com as well.
On my VPS, I see.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be tied to gunmonkeynet.net. Server name has nothing to do with the name of your VPS or the primary address. That's okay. All server name is what that virtual host should respond to.
Server alias. So what is? Why would you even have this field?
Server alias is it's just like an alias for the virtual host where. I don't know, if you had micro.fragdev.net set up by accident.
Which never happened.
I deny everything.
Right.
So you could set that as a server alias to micro.fragdev.com. Okay. So the primary address is micro.fragdev.com, and that's what that virtual host should respond to most of the time. Server alias is for additional names that you want it to respond to.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You can leave that directive out, honestly.
Yeah. So basically, I'm going to go down right now and just take out I don't need the alias at all.
Yeah. And I should probably mention at this point that I use these virtual hosts an awful lot, but this is absolutely not a definitive explanation. This is just what I understand. If anybody has any corrections they want to make, please let us know. But server name is most definitely what it should be responding to.
Okay, so now I just made three virtual host blocks.
Mm-hmm.
The top one is... another question. The server admin. What are they looking for there?
This is
at the top of the block when you first start.
Yeah, that is that's an Apache-specific config. That really doesn't come into play much while it's serving the web page. What happens is if you hit a 404 message... and don't have a custom 404 page designated, Apache generates its own default one, and it says, 404, page not found. If you feel this is an error, please contact the site admin
at localhost,
in there.
Which I have here. So anybody looking at any of my future pages and they want to complain, you can just send an email to root@localhost.
Exactly. I bet if you did a Google search for that particular email address, you'd get a lot of... sloppy servers.
Nice. Did you just call my server sloppy?
Oh, it is at the moment, but we're working on that. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, ironclad.
I actually am paying extra on Linode to have day, week, and month backups, just so when this all falls apart, I can just step back a little. It's only $5, so.
See, that would be a smart thing to do, whereas I just made it very clear whenever somebody starts using my server that I don't have backups.
Yeah.
You should probably make that. I'm getting much better. I do semi-regular backups manually, and I'm about to set it up so that my server will automatically SSH to my my house and dump all of the important stuff onto my hard drive.
Oh, nice.
But I haven't quite gotten there yet, so you are ahead of me in that respect.
Well, I'm waiting for this to all fall apart. So, I mean, maybe if I get more comfortable in a year, I can do like some rsync stuff and I won't have to have them doing it.
Well, that's the thing, though. That waiting for your server to fall apart is the right attitude to have. That is a brilliant sysadmin technique. You know, expecting the worst, that's the way you should do it. You would think that it's almost a blessing and a curse that Linode has this uptime that's just amazing. I've never really had my site go down more than once in the couple years that I've been hosting with them. And that's like, this has been through Hurricane Sandy.
Hmm.
And I'm in the New Jersey data center.
Yeah,
and
me
you
as
would
well.
Think that would scare me into making backups, but no, not yet. So actually, maybe while we're doing this, I should start a backup. You're getting me all freaked out.
I'll start it for you. I'm in your system.
There you go. So
you
take care of backups. I'll work on.
Yeah, you're backed up. Believe me, I got you on a tape drive. All right. So virtual hosts. We just got way off track.
Right.
Yours can burn and crash. Mine is the important one right now. So I have three entries in my virtual hosts.
Yeah.
And from reading the
server admin.
Server admin. It's not really important, but I suppose I could put my real email address in there.
Yeah. What I do is I have a alias that I use for all of that stuff that's going to be public, like all my Whois data, all of my the server admin values are all set to this random, I think it's like net admin and a number. So if that ever starts getting spammed to hell, I just increment the number.
Okay. I'm just going to leave mine at root at localhost for now. It'll go to somebody.
Yeah.
From what I read,
it's your problem.
From what I read, I don't know if this is an Arch specific thing or Debian does it. But from what I read in the top of the virtual host file, it says even though you have a entry for your server, you need to put it back in over here. So you see a generic block at the top. So that one is served out of document root /var/www.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the document root that configuration value just sets where the root of your web page is going to be served from?
Yep. So that's what I've always had ever since I first started doing this was var www, and that's where you saw that my PGP key and that that monkey thing. So that's just it's always monkeys. I don't know why. I didn't even start this. So that's the index.html is in var www.
Yeah.
So then when we set up StatusNet, we would do var/ww/StatusNet, which came out of a README that a lot of us read. Mm-hmm. So that's how I currently have it set up on the VPS. And this is where people are saying they're having trouble getting to that subfolder.
Yeah. So what you can do is you can just point one of these virtual hosts document root at that subfolder. And it'll be available in both places.
That's where I'm going next. Okay, we're on the same track here. So then my next question was, the Media Goblin, reading through a README, wants to be served out of /serve/http?
So I think those are just default values of whatever platform you're on. So every Linux distribution changes the directory structure a little bit. Like, I noticed that all the Apache configs are in httpd.conf in Arch, but in Debian they're apache2.conf.
Okay. Yeah, so this may be Arch specific because I was getting using blogs from Jay Pope and Chimo, who are both Arch guys, setting up Media Goblin.
Yeah.
So, however, let's say I want to use serve HTTP, does this become an issue using two different... I mean, I can shoot people to different subfolders, right?
Yeah, it shouldn't make any difference as long as you have the permissions correct.
All right.
So as long as your www-data user can access all of those, because that's Apache runs under a second account. And there's something you might want to check on Arch as well, because they might have an HTTPD user,
okay.
Whereas on Debian it's a www-data.
Well, I set up a www-data account, and it's running StatusNet just fine. But then for MediaGoblin, mm-hmm. I set up another user. I set up low-privileged users.
Oh.
So I have a MediaGoblin user who has permission. You know, everything's chown MediaGoblin colon MediaGoblin over in this serve /http/MediaGoblin.
Oh, that might be causing problems, actually.
See, this is what I'm saying. I'm just fooling around here, and I could be digging a hole.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the... So you would have to somehow get Apache to impersonate that user, because right now, if Apache is running as this, as their own user, that process needs to be able to get to these files as well.
So this might be where I'm running into trouble. I never even considered Apache being a user. I pictured this user...
Yeah.
That I can make up, you know, I made up MediaGoblin or I made up www. As long as they have permission to see the folder and they start the process of the server, I thought I was fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's they can start the pro. I don't know if there's any server processes in MediaGoblin, but there's like daemons and things in StatusNet.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that, but you'd have to make sure that the Apache service account, whatever Apache runs as,
okay.
is in the group of those users you're creating.
Okay, all right. This might this might be one of those HPRs where I confuse people more than. Don't do it my way, first of all. Okay,
yeah.
I'm the student here.
That will make things a little bit more complicated. It might, I guess, it could silo you a little bit so that if something goes wrong and your MediaGoblin installation gets hacked, I guess they won't be able to navigate around. Although a lot of that should be prevented by Apache anyways.
Okay.
Apache will silo each of these different virtual hosts inside their own directory, inside their document root. So, for instance, a user wouldn't be able to recurse through the directories a little bit and get access to your Etsy folder or something like that.
Okay. I was just under the assumption that every time you set up a server, you set up a user to start the server and a low privileged user. But okay,
yeah.
this is the learning steps of me going from one server type thing to having two now. So,
mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
if I just stick with my www-data account, I will set up all my servers and have that user start them.
Yeah, if that's what Apache is running as,
I believe it is
because. Yeah, because Apache is the server. These are just applications running under them, I guess.
Okay. I think I just figured out what the problem is with my multiple servers. Even though they're started falling over a little bit. But I need to get past the virtual host stuff first, because part of my troubleshooting was I put index.html in each one, in each folder I'm pointing to, and this would just say, you know, like the HTML, it would only say holding place for MediaGoblin, holding place for Micro, just to see if the resolving was happening and something would pop up on my browser, which
is a good approach.
It still hasn't, so I'm still having trouble with this virtual host folder.
Okay, so, well, the first thing you're going to want to do is see if you can just chown, however you say that command, chown?
Change owner, yeah.
Change owner. You're going to want to change the owner of all those files to www-data just so we can see if it'll get up and running. So what I usually do, because I've had to kind of create some best practices because I just have a pile of websites and web applications running on my VPS, I usually make subfolders inside /var/www.
Hmm.
So there really isn't a website on my server at /var/www. I think I might have an index.html just in case something gets directed there.
Okay.
But usually what I do is I'll make a subfolder for each subdomain, and I will name that folder the subdomain. it's a really good practice to get into because it, I've done it the other way too, where I've had folders named one thing and then I'll change the subdomain or I'll move something around and it'll all be wrong.
Mm.
So usually I just, I name the, whatever it is, the address that it resolves to, just so I can keep everything straight. It also makes it easy to do a search and replace in Vim with those virtual host blocks.
All right, I'm gonna throw you for a loop here.
Okay. I'm ready.
/var/www is owned by Bill Bill.
Yeah?
/serve/http/mediagoblin is owned by MediaGoblin. Maybe I'd never even set up a user www here. I'm thinking of my Debian box, and I'm thinking of my Arch box.
Oh, that's true. Oh, and you've got the two servers to keep track of.
Well, actually, the Debian one, that laptop is shut down and over in the corner now. It's not coming back, but...
So, well, you've got the two server experiences to keep straight.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out which direction I'm going.
Well, I'd say the first thing you have to do is make sure you know what user account is being used to run Apache.
If you mean by doing like sudo system control start stop http.service, I'm doing that as Bill.
No, that's not what I mean.
Okay.
I mean doing like the ps command to list processes,
okay, let me...
grepping for Apache, and finding out what user account Apache is using to spawn its processes. Whatever that user account is, that's what you need to give access to.
Okay, let me try that. PS. Yes,
yeah, I know.
There they all.
Red Hat.
There they all popped up. Okay, so I'm taking my old Debian stuff and mixing it with Arch stuff.
Yeah.
So the new user here is HTTP.
Okay, so the process is running as the HTTPD user.
Yes.
So that's what you need to give access to all those folders.
So I need to chown all these folders.
Yeah, and if what I do on my VPS to make sure me and the other people that host with me have access to our files, I change the owner of the folder to the user that manages those files. So StatusNet is me. Some of the other folders are for other people, and then the group is always. In your case, it'd be HTTPD.
Got you. Okay. So I can still have my MediaGoblin user group HTTPD, and then I'll have my... Okay. All right. I can do that.
Yeah. So does MediaGoblin run any daemons or something?
Yeah, it's a Python environment, is it?
Oh,
and
okay.
It uses, like, the lazy celery server. Well, it's stuff I've never heard of.
Yeah, that's another problem. Every web application I look at has a different set of technology that it runs on. Like, Pump.io is Node.js and MongoDB, and I didn't realize MediaGoblin was Python.
It might not be. I'm trying to get over to the... I'm even newer to this than the virtual host stuff. I got a VPS, and I was like, all right, let's put on all the things. And here I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, serve.
Yeah, well, that's... HTTP. Honestly, you get... pretty far thinking that way too.
Okay, so here I'm in the MediaGoblin folder. Everything is MediaGoblin. So what I need to do is chown MediaGoblin HTTPD.
Yeah.
So I'll do a.
So that way, and make sure that the MediaGoblin or the HTTPD has read.
Let me just chown this, and if it all dies, I've already. Restarted MediaGoblin 3 times. Because one time I had a mix of installing as root and as the MediaGoblin. I would do sudo-su MediaGoblin. Then I could use my own password, but have MediaGoblin do whatever install was going on. And I ended up with a...
That's good.
Yeah, but I ended up mixing some actual sudo stuff was owned by root, and some of it was owned. So...
Oh.
So then I just got rid of the whole folder and I started over. Sometimes that's best. I scrapped it. I realized what I did and I scrapped it.
Also, if you do, is it chown -R, that'll just do
I'm doing that right.
Whitewash of all the permissions. That's a handy.
I just laughed because here we are doing an HPR to tell people how to do stuff and we're saying how we did it all wrong. Sean minus R, or that media.
Episode 3, Hiding the Bodies.
Invalid group, no HTTPD.
Really? Well.
We're going to call this episode, Two Guys Mess Around with Their Linux Boxes.
So, maybe the group thing's a Debian thing, too. You could do
it. List groups?
You have to cat the /etc/groups folder or file.
Cat. HTTP. Okay, that seemed to work. let me go in there. Media Goblin. LS minus LA. Okay, Media Goblin owns everything, and the group is HTTP.
Awesome. And the group's going to need read permissions, especially.
Okay. Everybody has read.
Good.
All right, let's see if this resolves now. So you think my vhost is correct? My vhost file. Now.
Let me switch back. Where am I looking here? Document remove variant. So you only have these four lines in each vhost block.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, wait. I probably am not seeing a lot of that. So let me get back to mine, because there should be a directory block as well.
We can fix this all in post. Yeah, I took those out because it seemed extraneous. Seemed like stuff I would never use. Get rid of this stuff.
They are not extraneous, actually.
Okay, damn it.
That,
how come computers don't work the way my brain does?
If you look at the one at the top where it says directory index.
Okay. Okay, now my big long password again. password, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's
it's the repetition that gets you. You don't know how many passwords you've put in.
That's right. I hope no one was counting. Okay, so I'm back in here. So I do need this directory.
That there's some important stuff in there.
Okay, why don't you go through it and say what it all is? Because I think it's all gobbledygook.
Yeah. So directory index, where it says it gives two different file names, index.htm and index.html. Mm-hmm. What that means is when you visit a folder on this website, so when you visit like /statusnet or even slash like the root, that says, well, you can't just visit a folder. We better find you a document to serve up.
Okay.
And that's what that directory index does.
Ah, so.
Otherwise, it'll give you the directory listing or an error.
So in the case of StatusNet, it wants to find index.php. So,
yes.
So maybe on my micro one, I'm going to have to get rid of the index.htm, index.html, and do index.http. Okay. Or PHP.
Yeah. What I would do is I would just add index.php in front of the other two.
Oh, okay.
Because it'll check those in order. And you definitely want those as a backup just in case.
Okay.
Because why not? So then there's the add handler. And it looks like yours is adding CGI scripts in Perl. And you don't really care about that as much. But some of that might be required. Like you might need an add handler for PHP.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look that up.
Okay, so I've just copy-pasted the whole directory chunk down into my three.
Yeah.
GunMonkeyNet,
so,
Media Goblin, and Micro.
Good, good. And I can't see it, but so there's the directory block starts with like bracket directory and then a slash.
Yep,
so
slash,
that's talking about
slash var slash. Oh, okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's just talking about your document root. So that'll apply all of those settings to that folder. And you can actually set different options for different folders if you want. So you could secure a folder or remove PHP access to one of your uploads folder, that kind of thing.
Next up was options.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what a lot of that stuff means. Those are just options. So I guess like that.
Some cubicle monkey is keeping his job by putting these options in.
Well,
nobody knows what they are.
Some of them we can kind of work through. Like exec CGI, the first one we see here, that probably means that it'll execute CGI applications that you have in those directories. Okay. So, if like I said, if you had an uploads directory that was accepting files from the public, you don't want them to be able to upload an executable into your images directory and then execute it by visiting it. Because that would basically own your system. So you could remove that option from that. But since this is just your web application root, you probably want that kind of stuff. What else is there? Indexes. That's, I think that implements that directory index, so that it'll say, okay, I need to check this.
Mm-hmm. Next one makes sense, though. Follow symlinks.
Yeah. Okay. Follow symlinks makes sense, and multi-views does not.
Okay. So someone else can do an HPR on what all this stuff means and tell us.
Yeah, if you know what multi-views means in Apache configs, you should talk to Ken Fallon.
Somebody out there is going to do a three-hour one on multi-views, and I'm going to make you listen to it.
No, what's going to happen is we're going to release these episodes of us troubleshooting this stuff, and someone is going to flip a table and say, these people have no idea what the hell they're talking about. And then it's like, he's a super nice guy, but Kevin Grenade is sitting here, head in hands, just saying, what the hell is wrong with these people?
People used to, once in a while, like if they're friends online, you meet them at a conference or something. Oh, yeah, you're you. Now they'll just stare at us like, you bastard.
Yeah. Oh, it's him.
It's him.
Oh, God. We're going to wake up in a dumpster with multi-views tattooed on our backs. And then plus includes, that's another one that I don't understand. Most of this stuff seems like it's in the sensible default range, so I just leave it.
This did come out of a default folder, so it shouldn't be, you're going to get all hacked using it. Allow override, yep. I don't know.
Oh, now that one I should know,
okay. But
I don't remember at all what it means. So the problem with all these Apache directives is the Apache documentation is kind of scattered. Like, it's all, I've had a hard time looking through it in different cases because it'll explain what a single property means, but not in the context of everything else. Or maybe it's all written by smart people and I just don't quite get it in the way that they're trying to get across. So, okay, here's the directory. Click.
Okay, well, the next HPR we do can be us rewriting Apache. The way we want it. No.
If I was making the Apache config. Okay.
Okay, ooh. The next one is allow from all.
So it looks like allow override has to do with the .htaccess files. Now, those files are, you could do an entire series of podcasts about those things. Like, that's when you see the fancy URLs where you'll visit, like on StatusNet, it's /sites/all, and it'll magically remap to a file that isn't there. That's all done with the .htaccess files.
Okay, yeah, that's not for today.
Honestly, I'm not the person to talk to because I don't understand any of that yet.
HPR, just give us another 2 days, and we just skim this stuff, and we'll do another episode.
Yeah. So let's see. Yeah, so that's what allow override is. I think that's like remapping visits a little bit. So that, what is it set to in your file? Allow override none. If you want to set up the fancy URLs in any of these applications, you may have to enable that. But for right now, just to get it working, we'll leave it at none.
All I want is just this stuff to resolve.
Yeah.
I don't need anything fancy right now. Mm-hmm. Nothing. It's all just borked.
So in the, order allow, deny, allow from all, those two lines, that's, I think you can set up IP-based, and this is, again, talking out of my ass, don't mind me. I think that...
You just got a not safe for work rating after that.
Oh, damn, you're right. You should edit that out. Hang on, I'm going...
you're actually going to redo it so we can edit?
No. I'm going to just say, like, the word unicorn, and you can edit it in. Like the old Lug
Radio
days. I want
to leave this whole entire conversation in. Okay, all right.
So I don't know if that's going to work or not. Yeah. So that you can control access to a website based on those, but since it's a public website, that should be good, the allow from all. I don't think you need anything else from that. Well, as long as you have all of those, I think that should get you most of the way there to at least resolving a site.
Hmm.
As long as we have those permissions in place.
So, how do we sum this up?
For the virtual host thing?
You were taking me through what this virtual host file is, and I think
Yeah. Well, what I know, most of it I probably just made up, so...
Well, some of it I was guessing at.
Yeah. Well, the moral of the story is, copy one of those default configurations that comes with your distribution.
So, I've made some changes here.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
we
you
should say...
give it a try?
Well, before you give it a try, you have to remember to restart http.d, or...
Yes. None
you
of the
you
changes.
Have to restart Apache. So how was it? I'm even forgetting what it was in Debian.
Oh, it's init.d? Yeah. So in Debian-based systems, we're all still on the init system. So it's slash
people.
Etsy. Yeah. Us in our Debian cave. it's slash Etsy slash init.d slash Apache 2 in my case, and then space and restart or... I think restart's the one to go with. There's a reload, but okay. I like to bring it all the way down and then let it just start back up just to make sure. Uninstall Apache, reinstall it, make sure it's completely out of there.
Yeah,
just you want to make sure that you get your configurations reloaded one way or the other.
Yeah, I do a purge. I do a apt-get purge Apache.
Get a brand new VPS.
This is getting insane. So, so Arch is a... You're going to sue, or you're going to sudo, and then system control stop httpd.service, and then you can start it again. Same.
Oh,
they're quite similar.
Sudo, I like sudo because it gives you root privileges without using a root password or enabling the root user.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is kind of a good thing to do, especially on a VPS. If you're going to be SSHing into it, turn off the root user. Well, I feel.
Yeah.
Turn off, don't even allow root to SSH in. You go in as an unprivileged user. You got your sudo, you can use certificates.
No, that's right. And even if you do need to log in as root, don't do it from SSH. Don't SSH as root. Most distros that I know don't even enable that. They won't let you SSH in as root for good reasons. It's just a real juicy target for all those script kiddies. So don't do it. I like sudo. If you do need an interactive prompt, like being root, sudo-i gives you that. But I use su, or switch user, the su command, a lot, because that lets you, like you were saying, run different processes or applications as different users. So I have... I don't know if I have a StatusNet user or if I run my StatusNet daemons as www-data, but I don't run them as myself and I don't run them as root.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they both have their place. Sudo is absolutely the way to go for system administration, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and works for me. Seems safer.
Yeah.
If somebody's it's just another obstacle. If somebody got into your system, they have to figure out another password. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
security through obscurity.
Not really.
No, I was just joking.
Yeah, everything's... It's security through good practices. I think you should be commended, Bill.
Okay. It's the tinfoil hat way.
Yeah. So, again, back to what we were talking about. We've talked about, like, root privileges and stuff. Where were we using these? Oh, on restarting
Apache.
Aha! Full circle. So, have you restarted Apache?
I just did, yes.
Good.
While you were off on your tangent.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at my... All right, yes, I did.
So
is it resolving
now? Let's give it a shot. Well, it is resolving.
So basically where I was getting hung up was that vhost file and what all those fields meant, which I think you've nailed down, like some that I didn't need and some that I did. And another thing I need to look into is how I'm starting my server processes. What under what name and what Apache goes. So there's two directions I can go in and for homework, and I can get back to you.
Cool. Yeah, and I think one of the ways you can avoid getting into trouble is just copying that default file and just changing the bits that make sense. Because that's the way I've been going so far, where I really only change server name and document root and a couple other things, like different places to put logs.
Yeah, the server alias really threw me, too. So that, in my brain, it was going server name is your server, and then
Which makes
and
complete
the alias
sense.
Is that micro or that, you know, something you want to change other than www. So, okay, so that's that yeah. sorted that too. So this was Learning with Bill.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that through the feedback we'll have Learning with Windigo, where everyone tells me how very wrong
I was.
He was
wrong. No, cool, man. That's I pick up a lot quicker when I can, you know, you tell me something and I can bang questions off you that they might be oddball questions, and you just have to say, you know, no, you're going down the wrong train of thought there. And I picked up a lot quickly. I shouldn't say quickly because we've been talking for about 3 hours.
Well, a lot of this is like I've run into these same problems and I've just spent hours on the internet.
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, I've been able to hit some of them, and there's still some stuff where none of it makes sense. So, I imagine at some point one of those is going to cause problems, like that whole access list thing is probably going to bite me at some point.
Well, I know a lot more about it than I was just poking around and guessing. So,
yeah, awesome.
So I'll fool around with this a little bit more, and I'll see if my my different URLs are resolving in the morning.
That sounds great. Get your subdomains resolving. Hmm. And do we want to give out feedback details, or do we want to run and hide?
No. No. If you found anything wrong with this, contact Windigo at... No.
It's, what is it? Podcast? Podcast at fragdev.com, I think.
Root at localhost.
Yeah, there you go. Send all... complaints, corrections.
Yeah.
No.
I am...
And we...
go ahead.
We both have the StatusNet instances as well.
Yep.
So I'm micro.fragdev.com/windigo.
I'm... Well, you know what? I'm not going to give this out right now because I just changed...
We're going to figure that out.
No, I just changed... I moved it all up and I'm changing the URLs, but you can still find me on Identica. I'm not leaving there until all this is working.
Or, there you go.
So... And email is nybill@gunmonkeynet.net.
Sounds good.
Okay, man. Thanks for rambling for a really long time with me.
Anytime. Right. Good luck with your homework.
Oh, yeah, it's quite a bit. All right. See you, man.
See you.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.